Well, good morning. That video made me want to go duck hunting. This morning we are starting a new series. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about God with us. The song that we sung this morning, Emmanuel, sing us the song of Emmanuel, was rather appropriate because the word Emmanuel means God with us. It's actually a Hebrew word. That's just translated or transliterated rather than translated into English. So it means God with us. So that is what we're talking about over the next 3 weeks. We'll talk about God with us. And today we're going to talk about God with us in the valley. There are times in our lives where things are going great, things are wonderful, and then there's times when they're not. So we're going to talk about when those times are not so great, when they're not so wonderful, and what does it mean? And so we'll look at a psalm this morning. If you want to turn to Psalm 84, is where we're going to hang out or use as our scripture. But this whole series has we'll call it an anchor verse or a theme verse that is what it's about. It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 23, and Matthew is writing, and he is going to quote an Old Testament passage. He says, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. So that is what we're looking at, the idea of God with us. And that is an amazing idea, an amazing concept. You see, no other religion or no other philosophy or thought has the idea of God with us. Or God becoming us. And so we're going to talk about the incarnation, and that means it comes from a Latin word, which means to put on flesh or to put on meat, put on muscle. And God puts on flesh, and he dwelt among us. And there's an amazing idea, and it's something that's essential to us as Christians, the incarnation, the virgin birth, the fact that Jesus became man, God became man. And that was his plan the whole time, that through Israel, that salvation would come to mankind. And it is through Israel that Jesus is born. Jesus is born a Jew among the Jews, and he teaches about the kingdom of God, and he gives his life for us as a ransom. And so this season we're going to celebrate him coming and putting on flesh and dwelling among us. And so God is among us. And it's easy, like I said earlier, to believe in God when things are going well. When things are doing well, when life is not giving you many problems, it's easy to believe in God. You get a raise at work, when your baby finally sleeps through the night, when you get that parking spot at the store that it gets you close. You don't have to walk as far because none of us want to walk far to get to the store. And so we celebrate those things, and God is good, right? But what about the hard times? What about those difficult times in life? You ask sometimes, honestly, where is God? Some seasons of life are really, really good. Your marriage is going well, but maybe one of your kids is making a foolish or crazy decision, and there's nothing you can really do about it because it's their decision to make. And you wonder, why doesn't God change their mind? Maybe you feel close to God and you sense his presence, but you're afraid that you're on the verge of losing your job. And so you've got this sense of God, and things seem to be going well, but on the verge, on the precipice, there's something bad that could happen, and you just don't know, and you're wondering, where is God in this difficult times? Maybe you are super excited about the holidays, and you're super excited about family coming and cooking and eating together and spending time together and exchanging gifts. But then you find out that you've got some bad medical news that's either about you or somebody you love. And you wonder, where is God? Today I want to talk about God being with us in those valleys of life. The text we're going to look at comes from, like I said, from Psalms chapter 84. And the first part of chapter 84 begins with talking about being how great it is to be with God. But in the second stanza, it kind of goes to a darker time, a harder time in life. And so that's the part I want us to look at this morning. Starting in verse 5, we'll read through verse 8. He says this: Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. This morning I want to talk about these valleys in life and really talk about the fact that God is with us in those valleys. And sometimes it seems like God is very far in the valleys, that He is not with us, that we are alone. And we talk about valleys and we think about valleys. There's not a whole lot of valleys here in Louisiana. We've got a few hills, but no real valleys. But we've seen pictures of mountains with valleys, or maybe you've gone on vacation and you've gone up a mountain and you can look down into the valley. And valleys in life, we use it as a metaphor, and in Scripture, we can use it as a metaphor to represent several things. Sometimes it's a battle. There are battles that happen down in valleys. And so we see that the armies of Israel and some other enemy get together in a valley, and they have a battle that happens there. And sometimes life can be a battle, and we have battles there in the valley. Sometimes it can be a season of depression, that you're down in the valley and you're just depressed. You're having a tough time. And this time of year, people struggle with depression because someone who they love is no longer with them. In a time that we celebrate and that we spend time with family and with friends and that companionship, or maybe it's a spouse or a child, and you're going to be in these times without them. And so depression comes along from time to time in our life, and we may use the metaphor that you're down in the valley. Sometimes it's loneliness, that you feel alone and you're down in the valley. And we like mountaintop experiences. That's where we tend to feel good. That's where it's beautiful, where everything goes great. You go up on the mountain and it's wonderful. But if you go up on the mountain, sometimes it's not very lush up there. If you go up on a high mountain, you don't have a whole lot of trees. You don't have a lot of vegetation. The stuff that's there It can grow even through the hardship and through the lack of rain. But if you look down from the mountaintop into the valley, you see green. You see it being very lush. You see it thriving. And mountaintop experiences, and we talk about them oftentimes, are times when we feel close to God and when things are going great and we're excited and life is wonderful. But valleys, we don't really want to go in the valleys, but it's in the valleys where things grow. It's in the valleys where you really encounter God and you get to know Him in a different way. You begin to experience God in a way that you don't experience Him on the mountain. See, we enjoy the mountaintops, but we really get to know God intimately in the valleys. Because that's where we have to cling to God. That's where we have to hold tight to God. That's where we have to walk closely with God. Because oftentimes it's there that no one else really understands the valley we're going through. And like I said, chapter 84 of Psalms begins with the idea of it being wonderful. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of hosts." He's talking about being with God and how great it is to be with God, the mountaintop experience. But then, like I said, in the second stanza, he moves and he mentions the Valley of Baca. And Baca, what in the world does that mean? What is the Valley of Baca? It's called the Valley of Baca, which is named after the Baca tree, which was a tree that would exude sap. And the sap that would ooze out of it looked like tears. It looked like water coming out of the tree, out of the sap. And so the Valley of Baca made it look like trees that were weeping. And so the Valley of Baca is sometimes translated, and some of your translations may have had something like this, that it's called the Valley of Tears or the Valley of Weeping or the Valley of Loss. Ever been there? Ever been in the Valley of Baca where all you have is your tears? All you have is your weeping. All you have is your loss. See, valleys were dangerous places. That's where the thorns are, and that's where the wild animals live, and that's where people were waiting to rob you and beat you and leave you for dead. Valleys are tough places. But what does verse 5 say? Verse 5 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is found in you." Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. God who is with us. God who has never left us. God who walks with us through those valleys, through those times of loneliness, through those times of depression, through those times of tears and weeping. It is God who gives us strength. It is God who helps us. You ever said something or felt like, you know, I've just had enough. I can't do it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. If you don't know God intimately, then the strength that you have is all the strength that you will ever have. But those who know Christ, those who are in relationship with Christ, we have a strength that goes beyond our own strength. We have something that goes beyond our strength alone, and we are found in God. Paul talks a lot about us being in Christ, being someone who is not just a Christian, but we are not just people who go to church, we're not just people who read the Bible, but we are people who are in the Messiah. We are in the Anointed One. And being in Him means we have the benefits of Him being in us. So when we're at the end of our strength, there's divine strength to help us through. Years ago, a movie came out when I was a kid called Cool Runnings. And if you've never seen Cool Runnings, shame on you. You should watch Cool Runnings. There's a part, the idea of the movie, it's about a Jamaican bobsled team. And it is loosely based on a true story that there really was a Jamaican bobsled team. But it's a comedy. But the idea is that this guy got some racers, some track stars, to become bobsledders because his thought was that if we could push the bobsled really fast, we'll get ahead and we'll win. In the push start, they called it. Well, three of the four guys are athletes. Three of the four guys in the bobsled team are athletic and they are runners. But the fourth guy, not so much. The fourth guy is the lead's best friend. The fourth guy is the guy who's really good at driving what they call push carts around. And so he got him to be part of the team thinking he would be the driver of the bobsled. Well, it ends up he's the brake man. But the point is this, at one point in the movie, they are doing physical exercise to build themselves up so that they can push the bobsled and try to win the race. Well, they're doing pull-ups. And the three guys who are athletes, they're struggling, but they are getting pull-ups, and they're getting it done. The fourth guy, his name's Sanka. Sanka is not athletic. He's about the size of a string bean, and there's nothing athletic in him, but he's trying to do these pull-ups. And he's doing it, he's trying with all his might, and he's trying to get his lips up to the pull-up bar. He's pulling, he's stringing, and he's not going anywhere. And he goes through a few repetitions with the music in the background and the idea of overtime, and they're getting better, and the others are doing pull-ups better. And then all of a sudden, it comes back to Sanka, and he's doing pull-ups. And you're like, wow, pretty impressive. Well, the camera pans back. And what you see is the coach picking him up and pulling him down and picking him up. And so he's doing pull-ups, but really the coach is picking him up. And that's what it's like when we are in Christ. When we've exuded all our strength, we can't do the pull-up on our own. We can't do anything. We just don't have the ability. And the Holy Spirit is in us, picking us up and getting us through and helping us to do the pull-up. That's what it's like to have God in us. That when you can't do it, when you hit the end of your strength and you can't go anymore, His strength is made perfect in our weakness, Paul says. That He is there lifting us up. He is there giving us the strength to make it through. It doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are more determined. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord. See, we idolize in our culture, we idolize independence. We want our children to be independent. Women want, they champion, I'm independent, I can do everything on my own, and I'm not talking bad about that. But we have this air of independence. I don't need you. It's all about me. I can do this. I don't need anybody to help me. Me, 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 me. The problem is we were created by God to depend on Him. And the church is created to be there for one another. That the church is designed as a body. And that the church needs everyone and everyone needs the church. That you are dependent, and at least you should be dependent, and get your strength not only from communion with God, but also relationships with other Christians. That we are blessed when we are dependent on God and dependent on the church. Now, that doesn't mean we take advantage of people. That doesn't mean we use people. It doesn't mean we don't do what we can to take care of ourselves. But how great is it to have someone there to encourage you? How great is it to have someone there to take you by the hand and help you on? How great is it to have someone there to give you a hug or write you a note, to pray with you, to cry with you, to be there for you? We were not made for this life on our own. We were not made to be independent. We were made to live life with one another. And you may be in the valley, but don't forget, you're going somewhere. It says, as you pass through the valley. The idea is that not that you're going to dwell in the valley, not that you're setting up home in the valley, not that you're going to live in the valley, but you are passing through the valley. It is difficult to be in the valley, and sometimes when we're in the valley, we think that we're going to be there forever. But it talks about those who are passing through on a pilgrimage to the city of Zion. The idea is that we're going through. But sometimes to get to where we're going, you have to go through the valley of tears. Sometimes you have to go through the valley of weeping. It says, as you pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. In other words, it says, even though you're going through the valley of tears, that you will use this water, that you will use the lusciousness that's going on down there to bring you strength, to nourish you. Water is a good thing. In the valley, there's water. Water's necessary for growth. Water restores us. And it's there in the valley that we meet God when we need Him most. And we need this water. We need God with us most. Paul says that you should keep your mind on things above, not on things below. What is it that refreshes us? It's God's Word. That when you're in the valley of Baca, when you're in the valley of tears or depression or you're feeling lonely, go to God's Word. Be in God's Word. Be prepared to hear from Him. Be prepared to pour your heart out with Him. Your current situation may be in the valley, but put your mind on God. Your heart may be racing, but your mind is fixed on God. There may be tragedies going on around you, but your mind is set on God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is in you. It says that His Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You're passing through. The valley's not your destination. You may be hurting now, but you won't be forever. You may be in a dark place now. You may be suffering now, but you're just passing through. And sometimes we just want to get out. We say, God, get me out of this. Get me out of here. Make it go away. But God will show you the way through the valley, but not necessarily take you out of the valley. See, it's in the valley that you grow the most. It's in the valley where you meet God and understand His intimacy. Nobody wants to go through the valley. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go through hardship. We don't sign up for that and say, oh, I can't wait to cry some more. I can't wait to be alone. I can't wait to struggle. If you do, there's something wrong with you. But it's in those times where we get to know God. And we learn that God is really with us. It's in those times where you look back on life and you realize that when you were in those valleys, when you were in those low spots in life, when you were going through the valley, through the battle, when you were suffering, when you had hardships, when you were depressed, when you were lonely, you find that those are the times where God grew you the most. And He prepared you for the next valley that's coming in your life. We all have valleys in our life. You can't live on the mountaintop. We all got to go through the hardships. And I like the way He ends the stanza. He says that we go from strength to strength. Meaning we go as far as we can on our own, in our strength. And then we realize with God's strength we can go further. We go from our strength to God's strength. Isaiah says, those who wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles and they will run and not be weary. The last line of the stanza talks about being prepared for God. Being prepared for God's presence. Verse 8 says, Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. This person is struggling. And this person is calling out to God to hear them. And I want you to know that God does. God hears you. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. If we prepare for His presence, if we draw near to Him, He says He draws near to us. God never promised that you would never go through a valley. But He promised that He would never leave you alone in the valley. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. On the mountaintops, but especially in the valley. As Chris plays and you think about your life right now, you may be there in the valley and you may be wondering, where is God? And you may be saying, God, get me out of here. I can't hear your voice. And you're with the psalmist and you're begging God, hear my prayer. And you're praying for relief. And I pray that God would bring you His strength, that He would help you to suffer well, that as you go through the valley, you grow and you mature and you're able to encourage others when they go through that valley of tears one day. But don't ever forget that God is with you. He never leaves you, never will forsake you. And if you're going through a valley today, maybe you're dreading the holidays, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you to spend time with God. Get to know Him intimately. And get to know His heart. Know that He is for you and that He is with you. But life is filled with valleys. It's filled with ups and downs. And we all go through the downs. But it's in those times we should cling tight to God. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for your word. And that, as the psalmist says, it's how lovely it is to be in your dwelling place. How lovely it is to be with you and in your church and with other believers. When things are going great, when life is fine, when all seems to be well. God, I thank you that you are with us in the valley of tears. In those valleys of weakness, of weeping, of tragedy, of suffering, of depression. I pray that in those times we would cling to you. That the Psalms would be our songs of how you are our stronghold and you are our strength. That we would remember that you are always with us and that you never leave us alone. That when Mary had Jesus, she had Emmanuel. You walking amongst us in flesh. So you know what it's like to go through the valley. You know what it's like to suffer. You know what it's like to be filled with tears and be alone and be betrayed and go through hardship. And so we trust you to be with us in our valleys too. God, if anyone's here hurting today, I pray that you would draw close to them as they draw close to you. That they would feel your presence, that we would be encouragement to them, and that they would know your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.